mind reading the next two items together, please, 1031 and 32?
Teresa?
1031, authorize a contract with Stantec Consulting Services, Inc. in the amount of $3,325,000 for the corrosion control improvements project, and 1032, approve findings to authorize an exemption to the competitive bidding requirements and authorize the use of the alternative contracting method of construction manager, general contractor, in connection with the corrosion control improvements project for an estimated amount of $11 million.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you very much. And colleagues, I apologize for the timbre of my voice. One of the medications I'm on, which is a steroid, which is going to prevent me from playing professional football, has the effect of suppressing my voice. And Mr. Walsh is nodding, and perhaps nodding in part because different people have different opinions as to whether I should continue on this indefinitely to lower the decibel level from this chair. So, but it has the effect of suppressing my voice. Colleagues, the Portland Water Bureau has had corrosion control as part of our water treatment system since 1997. And while the Water Bureau remains in compliance with the Environmental Protection Agency's lead and copper rule, today's proposed council actions will improve the existing corrosion control treatment system. The proposed project is part of a compliance schedule with the Oregon Health Authority and is planned to be completed by April 30th, 2022. We have an all-star panel today I'd like to introduce. They are Celeste King from Procurement Services, Teresa Elliott, the Chief Engineer of the Portland Water Bureau, and Michelle Cheek, Senior Engineer, Portland Water Bureau. And they're going to give us a presentation about a competitively solicited design contract and a proposed competitive solicitation for the project. Ladies, welcome.
Thank you. I'm Teresa Elliott, Chief Engineer, Portland Water Bureau, and I'm primarily here as moral support and to help answer questions. Michelle is going to do our presentation, and then Celeste is going to talk about procurement support, and then we'll be available to answer questions.
Okay. I quickly would just like, Lindsay has left, but more power to that young lady for sitting up here and talking in front of you, because it's very intimidating, even as an adult and professional. So anyways, I will get started. So I am here today to give you an update on the corrosion improvements project, and in support of that, get your approval for a PTE design contract, and then also an alternative procurement process for the construction. So the corrosion improvements project will design and construct a new corrosion control treatment facility, which will also include support facilities, including a new utility water pump station, and associated piping and support systems to make the treatment facility operational.
To put you at ease, can I start off by thanking you for something that may seem small, but it's not? Thank you for actually doing the overheads in type that people can see. Mm-hmm. And we've been putting out the word. I think it was Mr. Walsh who first raised this issue a number of weeks ago, and you are amongst the first to actually implement it. So thank you for that. It's a great standard.
I would love to take credit for that, but Gabe is the one that put this together.
There's a lot of people at home who really struggle to read the slides if they're too small, and I do as well. I'll confess that. So we really appreciate that.
Sure. So in March of this year, we were at council to talk about the corrosion improvements project, and early March, you gave us, or you approved our request to move forward with the contract for the corrosion control treatment pilot. So we have kicked off that work, and it is underway. And then on April 5th, we completed our water quality corrosion study and submitted that report to OHA in accordance with our compliance deadline. And we presented the results of that to council in early March. In April of this year, we also released the RFQ for the design consultant, and the contract that we are here to get approval for today is a result of that RFQ. In mid-May, OHA approved our modified schedule for improved corrosion control treatment, which accelerated our schedule by 5 months. And then at the end of June of this year, we submitted our pilot study plan to OHA again in accordance with our compliance schedule. So current project activities that we're working on, we're here today to get your approval for the PTE design contract. And
can I just interrupt you? And
sure.
This is a bit of a negative. Could you say what all the acronyms mean?
Oh.
Thank you.
On this slide.
Oh, okay. Yeah, PTE, Professional Technical Engineering Services. I used to so often, I forget what they actually mean. And CMGC is Construction Manager General
Contractor.
Yes.
Thank you.
No problem. And so upon approval of the PTE design contract today, we will begin some early design task on the corrosion control treatment facility that are required regardless of the treatment alternative that is selected. So things like geotechnical work, surveying work, survey of existing facilities to figure out how to integrate future facilities with the existing facilities. And then at the end of this year, we'll be implementing improvements to our lead hazard reduction program as part of our interim lead reduction program that was submitted to the state. We are working with the Oregon Health Authority to evaluate the education component of the lead hazard reduction program, and any recommendations that come out of that will be implemented as part of improvements to that program. So future project activities, we are currently well on our way to meeting our future compliance deadlines. July 31st of 2018, we will be submitting our recommended treatment alternative and the results of our pilot study to OHA, and then immediately thereafter begin detailed design of those recommended treatment improvements. April 30th of 2020, we are required to submit our treatment plans and specifications for that facility to OHA. August 1st, we're required to begin construction of that facility, and then April 30th of 2022 is when those facilities are required to be online and operational. The project overall project budget for the corrosion improvements project is $19,916,000, and that includes the design contract and the CMGC contract estimate. And also PWB management and staff involvement time. The design contract that we are bringing forward today is for $3,325,000, and the CMGC contract estimate is $11 million, and the total project estimate has a low confidence level given that we have limited design done at the time.
So can I just ask sort of a top-line question? So between the CMGC and the design contract, 11, 12, 13, 14 million, 325, what's the rest that gets you the 19.9?
Yes, that's PWB management, staff involvement time, and also some contingency given the low confidence level of the project.
Okay, very good. And what typically do you put into contingency? Is it 10%? What is the contingency?
At low confidence levels, up to 50%, possibly greater.
Oh, really? Okay.
Just given the lack of detail that we know at the time about.
Okay, so this is very much then conceptual at this point. Yes. So these are numbers, these are basically ballpark numbers at best.
Correct. I think technically the description is an educated guesstimate.
Okay, so. And then you come back as you refine the guesstimate with more detail.
Right. Correct.
And at what stage do you do that? What are the waypoints along the line to get towards more confidence?
So at each of the design milestones, we'll be completing construction estimates or new estimates for the construction. And then also the CMGC contractor will be brought on board early in the design process and will be giving us a guaranteed maximum price for the construction phase of the project early on. And Celeste will, or somebody from procurement, will be coming back to council to present that.
And just so I understand, on the CMGC portion of that, if there will agree on the design parameters, and then after the construction, if there's any cost overruns, they eat it, not us. Is that correct? Or how does that work?
Yes, that is generally correct, provided that, I mean, they are providing a guaranteed maximum price based on a specific scope of work.
So if I may, Mayor.
Please introduce yourself.
Teresa Elliott, Chief Engineer.
Thank you.
A guaranteed maximum price is what we bring forward as the construction contract, and as long as nothing has changed in the scope of work, then if the price is overrun, then they eat it. If there is something that the Bureau or the City has added to the contract, or if there's major differing site conditions that are outside of the scope of the contract, then the language of the contract says that we will negotiate a change order.
So the beauty then of CMGC is that you have the maximum. The downside to it is we need to make sure our upfront work is sterling, right?
Correct.
That's where the protection is for us.
And it's also the other protection is by bringing the contractor on board during design, we have the ability to remove some of the risks because we can do exploration stuff in advance, and the contractor is more aware of what's being designed and what's being built.
Okay, that's helpful. Thanks for that digression. Sure. That's helpful for me to understand.
Good
Thank
questions.
You.
Yeah, no worries. And that covers my slides, and so I'll turn it over to Celeste, and I think a lot of this we've covered already, but
right. Okay. Good morning, Commissioners.
Morning.
Mayor. I'm Celeste King, the procurement supervisor in the construction group. So the city attorney has reviewed and approved the findings as they're attached as Exhibit A, finding them in compliance with the requirements set in ORS 279 and city code. This project will benefit by being outside the standard low bid process by having the ability of all parties to work together on the design elements significantly early in the project. Having the construction contractor brought in early will likely result in a better project. Another benefit would be working together on sequencing and scheduling to maintain continued operations and meet water's compliance deadline. Water and procurement will work together on developing the subcontractor and supplier equity plan for this project and agree that we will aspire to exceed the standard goal and maximize participation. The DMW ESB utilization goals will be one of the evaluating factors in the request for proposal process, which is not available to us in the standard low bid process. The DMW ESB goals will also be included in the contract negotiation. Today, we are asking for approval for the ordinance to authorize an exemption from the competitive bidding process and authorize the use of an alternative contracting method, CMGC, in connection with a corrosion control improvement project for an estimated amount of $11 million. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Where will this facility be located?
We are looking at our Lusted Hill facility up in, it's not in the watershed itself, but it's up in the, basically it's used as agricultural area in Clackamas, Multnomah County.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You'll stick around in case there are any questions.
Yes.
Public testimony?
Yes, we have three people signed up.
Very good.
Joe Walsh, D. White, and Floyd Jones.
Good morning. Dee, do you want to start today? Thanks.
Sorry. My name is Dee White, and once again, the Water Bureau and the city, of course, is going to approve this, is putting the cart before the horse. You're going to build a treatment facility to dump a whole bunch of chemicals in the water. You're going to have to dump even more than you need to because you haven't flushed the pipes. And flushing is best practices. It was recommended in the previous Black and Veatch corrosion control study that they are being informed for this next corrosion control study that they're doing. And Black and Veatch, one of their suggestions was to flush the pipes. And y'all, and we brought it up at the budget meeting, y'all had flushing pipes is best practice. Y'all do about 7 miles a year. That makes it so with 2,700 miles of pipes here, that means that the pipes don't get flushed but every 75 to 100 years. And there are probably some pipes out there that have never been flushed. That is a major reason why the water is corrode. That is a major reason why we've got lead, is because the water corrodes the pipes. There's biofilm on it. There's scale. It's all... The Water Bureau, instead of doing their maintenance, they're so far behind in maintenance, they're just going to build new fancy, glamorous projects that are way overpriced. I mean, there was $5 million spent back in 2013 on a expansion at Lusted Hill, and design, and I don't know if it was constructed, I don't think it was, but the design, $5 million given to an engineering firm for an expansion, was that not even looked at? There were plans were made, $5 million was spent. All this, I don't know if y'all have ever been to Lusted Hill, and like, we don't even know if it's going to go at Lusted Hill. Y'all are going to have to do a wildlife survey that's on the last contract. The public doesn't know anything about this. I mean, y'all say you don't even know where you're going to do it. You do know, but you're not going to let the public know. In the fall, well, last year, the EPA and the OHA, we exceeded the lead action level. No level of lead is safe, but the EPA, if it gets above 15, the EPA comes in and says, you got to do this. Well, this hasn't even been mentioned either. The test can't, you know, y'all threw a bunch of chemicals in. You said you were going to raise the pH to 8.0 or 8.1 or 8.2. The results come in. The latest test from the last quarter, action level, it's 14.75, right below the action level, right below it. The pH is only 7.9. Good Lord. Has that 3 minutes already gone by?
Thank you.
Well, can I just read one more thing?
One more thing. Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Mr. Rogers says, life is deep and simple, and what society gives us is shallow and complicated. This is so much like what the Water Bureau. Everything is complicated, everything, and it's so simple.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Floyd Jones, Friends of the Reservoirs, and I've only had opportunity to briefly look at this Black and Veatch report from April 2017. It's about 400 pages, but it brings up issues that we've talked about for many years. I served on the Water Bureau Budget Committee. I often pushed for flushing of our system on a routine basis. That was ignored, and I'll just give you a story from 2004, which I think represents how all of these projects go. The Water Bureau had a public meeting out at the community center on 106 off of Stark, and they were pushing all these big build projects. Water Bureau employees who were milling around before the session were lamenting that our system was so simple. They go to these conferences, they just come back. Everybody else was having fun. They weren't able to build. At the end of the session, I asked Morton Ishiravani, then director, why is it that you spend so much money on studies, consultant studies, and yet the auditor has said you need to do all these maintenance projects, you're not following him? And his answer was, designing and building is glamorous, maintenance is boring. And, you know, that theme has continued out in all these years, 16 years of looking into Water Bureau issues. And the Water Bureau number of employees, it used to be historically 425 employees. Then when Randy Leonard got into this whole big, let's raise our rates, starting with 17 point, whatever it was, and every year big rate increases, you know, it expanded. We're well above 600. But you don't allocate enough staff to be doing this unidirectional flushing, which needs to be done routinely. And again, that's part of this report, that perhaps the pH that we already put in the water would be more effective if there weren't the biofilm, and it talks about that in this report. The other issue is cancer-causing nitrification. We said all along, you eliminate those open reservoirs, we're going to have nitrification. EPA has documented it for decades that's a problem. They said we failed to address that in the EPA LT2 rule. AWWA talks about that. It's talked about in this Black and Veatch report. I continue to go to the wholesale customer meetings, and I just don't understand why the Water Bureau and the wholesale customers are not together down there at the Oregon Health Authority and talking about this together. Every meeting was just there last week. They say the same thing again. You're going to do this, build this plant, and then you're going to create problems for all of these outlying areas because everybody has all these different water sources. So I don't know if you can intervene. You know, I've done public records at the health authority before, and it's not that the health authority necessarily pushes these time schedules. It's the Water Bureau wants these time schedules. If everybody met with OHA together, we might end up with a better result. So I think you need to reallocate some funds and put it into maintenance instead of designing and building.
Thank you. Good morning. Sorry.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. We support everything that was just said. One of the things that stunned us was low confidence. No project should go forward with a low confidence rating. None. They should be automatically stopped until you get to reasonable or high confidence. We know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. That's the area up there. We know what we're doing. Not low confidence. You're talking about a lot of money here. You're talking about millions of dollars. And it always sounds in the presentations that we got this under control. We got this figured out. And almost every project doubles. Why is that? Why does that happen? I mean, you can answer. Why does that happen? Every project that goes through this council, if it's under budget and on time, you stand there and you have a cocktail party to celebrate. That's how unusual it is. Does it happen? Yes, it does happen. Does it happen often? No. It would be interesting to do the statistics on it. And I would like to see the statistics on low confidence. How about that? Let's do a statistical analysis on low confidence on a $10 million project if we had to raise the fees. And Commissioner Fish, it's...
Could I take just yes. a couple
this,
seconds
this
of your time?
This is Mr. Walsh's time. This is
I could give up my time, right?
Fair enough.
I just want to make one more comment on the alternative procurement contracting, because that happens a lot, again, over the last 10 years. And in the document that's submitted to you, it says that this doesn't support favoritism. But again, go back and look at every time they do this, it ends up being the same corporations getting the contracts. So, you know, it may help them in designing and carrying out the project, but it does end up with favoritism. You can go back and you'll see CHUM Hill, MWH Global. And like I said earlier, those names have changed now because they were bought out this summer by a bigger conglomerate. But that's another big issue that needs to be looked at.
Okay, and let me hit you on that. We have a consensus here that we would really like to see minority contractors get more business. We all say that. And again, when you say it, it's sugar words because it doesn't mean anything when you do this stuff. You have to go out and get minority contractors and really work at it. Not just take $10 million and throw it out there and say, well, this guy over here has all the facilities. He can do it really easy or she can do it really easy. You have to work at it. And that's what we're saying. We object to this. And we are on the record, object to it. And please, in the future, don't say nobody objected. We did. All
Thank
three
you.
Of us.
Very good. Is that it, the end of public testimony on this item?
That's all who signed up.
Could we have staff come back up, please, and we'll go through some of these issues. If I could, and I won't remember all of them, but the comment was made, why would we start on this if we don't have reasonable or high confidence?
Actually,
could you explain that?
I would be happy to.
Thank you.
Back in...
Let's introduce yourself again.
Teresa Elliott, sorry. Chief Engineer. I believe back in 2008, maybe 2009, City Council adopted a ordinance on what kind of confidence rating they wanted to be applied to all contracts and ordinances coming to City Council. If a project is in planning or at the beginning of design, it is considered to have a low confidence rating. If it is at 100% design and going out to bid, it has a high confidence rating, which means that it has still a plus or minus 20% contingency. A low confidence has plus or minus 50% contingency, according to your confidence ordinance that was passed by City Council.
Thank you. That's very helpful. The comment was just made with regard to minority contractors. Could you state what the commitment is?
So our during an alternative procurement project, we negotiate with procurement and with the contractor to set what the goals are. We always look at what the current city goals are for MWCB participation and for both contractors and for workforce, and then we work to make sure that we exceed those. The current ones for the alternative projects that we have going forward right now is 22% for MWSB participation, 12% of that going to minorities, at least 5% going to women, and 5% going to anybody else. I don't anticipate our goals ever dropping below those, so I'm expecting it to be at least those numbers.
Very good. Thank you. Colleagues, any further questions before we move these? Commissioner Udaly?
I'd like to know how to get on the invite list, because I haven't been invited to a single City Council cocktail party all year.
I haven't either.
Okay. Very good. With regard to item 1031, this is the first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second. With regard to items 1032, this is the first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It also goes to second reading.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
All.